Good afternoon and welcome to the 2021 preliminary results presentation of Cabka. My name is David Brilleslijper, and I will be your host today. With me are Tim Litjens, CEO of Cabka, and Necip Küpcü, the CFO of Cabka. Both will give a short presentation later, and afterwards there's time for questions and answers. If you want to submit a question, there is in the right bottom corner, you find an orange Ask a Question button, and you can submit your questions via that button at all times. If you want to view this webcast later, it will be published on the website of Dutch Star Companies as of tomorrow and as of the 1st of March on the website of cabka.com. So let's start with a short introduction of Tim Litjens, CEO of Cabka. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Welcome all of you to this first webcast. For those that haven't been present during the earlier presentations, I would like to take a short moment to introduce Cabka and the business model to you. What you see here on this slide is essentially capturing the business model, where we show that we are present across the value chain, closing the loop for our customers. As you can see in the far left side, we start with waste. This can be post-consumer, or this can be post-industrial waste that we take in. We recycle this into new materials that are used in the production of our final products that we develop in-house. This way, we produce and sell roughly 10 million pallets and 200,000 containers on an annual basis. And we do that through processing about 150,000 tons of recycled plastic waste. For illustrative purposes, this represents roughly the waste produced by four and a half European citizens. So that's quite substantial. In this slide, you see the uniqueness of our business model, unique in the sense that also here we close the loop. We start with the recycling of the materials, of the waste. We engineer this material into a new resource. This we do in our innovation center in Valencia, Spain, where we also develop our own products that we bring to the market. Ultimately, this material is used in the production of these pallets and containers and brought to our customers. We combine that with a set of services, amongst others, taking these products back at the end of their life to make sure that the loop is closed, so to say, and that the material can be recycled fully and used into new products. With that being said, the business model in a nutshell, I would like to hand it over to Necip Küpcü, our CFO, to introduce you to the financial figures of 2021. Necip.
Thank you, Tim. Also, warm welcome from my side. I'm today happy to present you the financial figures, the preliminary numbers, which is basically based on the German GAAP accounting principles. So what we see here in the slides is that all numbers are based, as said, on the German GAAP, except two positions, which is the EBITDA and the net debt position. Here, we are in the middle of the IFRS conversion in 2022. We will have the complete reporting set up in the 2022 figures based on IFRS. And first time, we will present it in the first half-year results in August. So what happened here so far, what we did is we included for the EBITDA the IFRS 16 adjustment and the net debt the same, which is basically treating the leasing component in these figures. Yeah, I think it's nice to see and look back that we have a strong recovery after COVID. In the 2021 numbers, we see all relevant KPIs have a record high. The revenue came in with 170.6 million versus previous year, which is 27% higher than 2020. But even when you look back to pre-corona year 2019, it's a 6% increase. So on that side, I think that is a strong recovery, what we can observe. The healthy growth we can observe in both key markets. We see in the U.S. and in Europe, basically an increase of well above 20%. But also in the product segments, in the pallet business, but also large containers, as well as in the eco products, all business segments are well above 20. So all combined, I think that is a strong signal towards the future here. The gross profit is coming in with 87.8 million, which is in absolute numbers increase of 18.2%. Here we can say the gross profit is predominantly affected by the material costs. What helped definitely is our business model, as Tim explained, with the backward integration. 70% of our own used materials are own recycled. So that, of course, impacted this KPI. Further, when we combine the gross profit but also take the strict cost control into consideration and the leveraging of the existing asset base where we have still idle capacities to generate more revenue even with the setup today, we see that this is reflected in the right way in the underlying EBITDA as well as IFRS adjusted underlying EBITDA, but also in the net profit with record profits. The underlying EBITDA is at a level of 28 million, which is well above all the previous years, 16% and more. The IFRS adjusted underlying EBITDA is coming in with 31 million. That is, as said, corrected by the lease in the IFRS 16, which is an additional 3 million, which brings us to 18.2% over sales. The net profit ultimately also came in with 4.5 million, which is also an all-time high. Continuing with the CAPEX, we see the total CAPEX spent so far is 16.9 million, which is, I would say, when you look at the repair and maintenance CAPEX with 7.1 million, this is in line with our mid-term guidance where we say, where we announce 4%. Here we come to 4.2%, which is, I would say, well in line still with the guidance. The other position, the growth and cost reduction CAPEX with 9.8 million is predominantly in the eco business invested. So in this segment, we integrated the Genthin site into the leading site in Weira. That was decided in 2021. And ultimately, part of the investments happened also, which will continue in the current year, 22. So that is the biggest position when it comes to growth. Besides that, of course, we have some other investments in material handling as well. The net working capital is coming in or came in with 32.9 million. That is basically the net working capital consists of the inventories, the trade accounts receivables, and the trade payables, which came in a little below also the midterm guidance, what was 20%. We see here that the number is around slightly below the 20% with 19.3. So all combined, resulting in the net debt also, we see the bottom line, the CAPEX, the working capital position, resulted in a very stable, let's say, net debt position, where we had in the prior year 2020 net debt position according to German GAAP 53.3 million. Now we see we are at a level of 54 million, means we have almost no change here in this position. The IFRS adjusted net debt is, of course, also here. The operate lease and lease obligations are on balance, which resulted in 62.4 million. So far, we see Cabka with the current setup, the syndicated loan structure in place, what we put in place in the year 2019, we see a very strong liquidity position. But with the great opportunity, what is given us by the business combination with the Dutch star companies, we see that the new, let's say, cash position will dramatically change, which is additionally 45 million cash inflow is expected. So that is, of course, something we will need to consider. And the current syndicated loan structure needs to be reviewed as well. So maybe a few words on the financial covenants in place today, what we have with the banks. We have hard covenants with the equity ratio. You see here also that we have we need to be above 30%. That goes also for the years thereafter. The interest cover ratio is 2.75 times, and thereafter 3.25. And the last one is the 10-year leverage, which was 3.5 times lower than the 3.5 times. And ultimately, we can say in the year 21, KAPKA was well within the financial covenants. So all combined, I think the situation is very promising and healthy. Maybe, Tim, we switch back to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Najib. Capturing everything here in this slide, the midterm guidance may be familiar to all of you, as this was also published like this in the shareholder circular. And you see the scoring on the base of the preliminary numbers of 2021. Are matching or outperforming this midterm guidance on all fronts. We came in ultimately with 27% growth against 2020. So needless to say that's a remarkable result. We were able to translate this to the EBITDA coming in at 18%. That's the IFRS adjusted EBITDA margin. As Najib already explained, CAPEX spend on maintenance and replacement was around the 4%, as we also indicated in the guidance earlier, combined with a net working capital position of roughly 19%. The dividend payout, where we strive ultimately to 30 to 35% payout ratio, is only going to be applicable as of the full year of 22. So I think overall, very good progress, a year in which we've achieved quite a turnaround against the COVID year of 2020, and which we're obviously looking to bring forward into the coming years. Okay, then the outlook for 22. The start to 22 is characterized by overall high inflation. It's particularly manifesting itself through the significantly higher energy cost and also material cost. In anticipation, we announced a round of price increases already early in the fourth quarter last year, coming into effect per January 22. However, as these inflationary effects came in even stronger than what was anticipated, there is an expected delay in the full conversion to the market, impacting our gross margins on the shorter term. That being said, supported by further mitigating actions focusing on enhancing our product mix, but also our overall efficiencies, we stick to the midterm guidance as provided earlier.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Najib, for your explanations. Just a reminder for the audience, you can still submit your questions via the orange Ask a Question button in the right bottom corner of your screen. Actually, the first question coming in here is referring to the outlook, Tim, you just mentioned. You mentioned that you have made some price increases over by the 1st of January. The question here is, what was the average price increase implemented in January? Can you say something about that? And have you plans for further increases going further, as you say, that prices gone up a bit harder than anticipated in 2021?
Sure, thank you. The typical approach that we take with regards to price increases is that we make a split between the effect coming from raw materials and the effect coming from other inflationary impacts, such as labor as well as energy. material costs we basically continuously translate into our pricing. We've done so last year in four different iterations. What we've done at the beginning of the year is push on the inflationary impact with a total of 3.8% to cover for the increasing energy and labor costs. Obviously, what is showing now is that the energy cost is moving up even higher, which for us as an industrial company, of course, is a relevant cost factor. So we are monitoring this this closely. We have our energy costs to an extent locked in, but still have also some exposure to the market. And we are close to it. We're tracking it, and if necessary, further price increases will be announced. But it's too early to say at this stage whether that's going to be the case.
So you say prices have been adjusted at the beginning of the year, and we're looking now to further adjustments come.
Prices have been adjusted again as of January 1, further adjustments are under discussion, whereby we monitor especially closely the material and the energy markets.
And can you give an average price, or is it different per product?
It depends a little bit on the material that is being used. As said, we make the split between the material effect as well as the overall inflationary correction.
So there's no one figure?
There's no one figure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I think we've covered this for so far. Nachip, just maybe on a more technical point, you published preliminary results this morning, but it was really condensed, no cash flow statement. Why? Why not the full pack this morning?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. The full package, I think what we presented today in the pre-audit version with the P&L and P&L KPIs, but also CapEx and net working capital, that gives already a good overall picture. And we will disclose the full package, including the cash flow statements, in our audit report in April. So
A little patient.
A little bit too early, yes.
All the and now prepared for the business combination expected next week, of course, and all, for all the investors there. So thank you. Maybe back to Tim. I've got a question here on ESG. Kabka is an ESG company, circular economy, recycling. But if we read the press release this morning, I can't find ESG. I looked twice, can't find it. Why?
Okay. Well, needless to say that circularity is deeply rooted into our DNA, that our entire business model is built on circularity. So, yes, ESG is a central theme. Also fair to say that this is something that we track, let's say, on a side-by-side base. And that we're currently in the progress of driving uniformity across the production sites in order to be able to consolidate and report coherent numbers across the board for 2022.
So the figures are there, but not consolidated, so that will be there next year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Clear for me, at least. I hope for our audience as well. Maybe turning back to Nachip. You spoke about a very good year for Kabka, all figures going up. But if you look at revenues in the Netherlands, and you're now going to be listed in the Netherlands, then you see that they are a bit stagnant. It's not going up that great, or even maybe a bit down. Can you explain why that is?
Sure. In the Netherlands, we have contracts with beverage companies, and we see the stagnation especially is coming out of this business. The year 21, the lockdown continued, so what happened is basically translated one-to-one to the beverage business. So there is not a major change in that way.
Okay. So actually, it's COVID related.
Exactly.
No bars, no pallets needed for the beer.
No demand, no more demand, let's say. Exactly.
Okay, good. Or not maybe good, but hopeful for next year, maybe.
Sure.
T, Tim, we talk about products now. Also, the U.S. is an important market for Cabka.
Yep.
We've seen very good growth in large containers in the U.S., but not as much in U.S. in the pallets business.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a bit of background on that?
Yeah, sure. The overall growth in the U.S. was over 25% compared to the prior year. The growth predominantly happened in the large foldable container business, a segment in which we are really actively looking to grow in the United States. So in that sense, it's a good reflection of the first successful steps of our product strategy there. We are currently in the midst of expanding our capacity in the United States in order to be able to also really pick up on the growth of the pallet business. The demand on the market is certainly there. So that is expected for the coming year.
So good forecast this is?
That's a good forecast for this year, absolutely.
Okay, it was not in the outlook, but we'll see what's happening. Thank you. Maybe then back to Nachip. We've seen a drop in gross margin from 2022 to 21, which is a bit awkward as all figures and profits are up, but the gross margin is down. Can you give a bit of context here?
Sure. The gross margin in 21 is 51.5%. We see that this number in 2018 and 19 in the average was also the same, 51.5%. So what happened basically is that in the year 2020, the number was extraordinarily high. We in 2021 had a nice growth, which is also translated into more, let's say, temporary employment. The temporary employment, according to German GAAP, is classified under cost of purchase services. So ultimately, that is the peak in cost in this position, which is translated to a gross margin of 51.5%. But ultimately, the growth in absolute numbers, we see that this is translated into a higher profit, bottom line impact.
So it is due to more extra labor you had to hire, temporary labor,
exactly,
to realize the increase in production.
Exactly.
So actually a good point, not a bad point. Okay.
Right.
Just to the audience again, if you want to submit questions, you still can do that during this this Q&A, also now. There is an orange button, ask a question button in the right bottom corner of your screen. And if you click that, you can type in a question for us as well. I've got one question for you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also looking forward a bit. What are Cabka's main growth drivers, would you say?
I think the growth strategy is merely based on pushing the boundaries of innovation when it comes to product design as well as the materials that we use for our products. You see already that the focus on the large foldable containers, but also the custom solutions business, is helping to thrive or thrust that growth. And as Nachip just explained, we are in the process of investing into the eco business, not just consolidating the assets into our main production site in Germany, but also expanding the capacities there significantly in order to drive that future growth.
So, okay. Thank you. I actually see no further questions coming in. We covered, I think, quite a bit of the business, but yeah. I have one coming in now. Good. I think for Nachip as well. What are the annual cost savings from the Getin integration into Vira? And maybe if you can give some light on that. And it's also maybe a good question to later turn to Tim to this for the strategic angle on that. So, Nachip, the cost savings from the expected cost saving from the gap.
Yeah, maybe the cost saving maybe translated in that way. What we analyzed is that we have, of course, now some investments and the centralization of all the business in one place. We will have we will facilitate further growth. Yeah, that is one important point. I think that we have more capacities to expand the business. But on the other side, we will have the economies of scale, which is also giving us additional bottom line impact. I would say the total saving can be translated into 2 to 3 years payback period of the investments.
So the investments will be paid back in 2 to 3 years, and you said that the largest part of the growth capital what it was taken for this year was for the integration.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that's a broader picture.
Yeah.
On a strategic point of view, would you like to add something, Tim?
There's really two angles to it. One is, of course, that as part also of our operational levers, we're continuously driving for additional efficiencies. Merging the activity on both sides in Germany into one site, as Necip said, helps us to drive up our economies of scale and thereby the bottom line. On the other hand, this is also a business where we see continuously strong demand in the market, so it's essential for us to play into that and be ready also to serve this growing demand for the future. And so we are not just moving the assets and consolidating the assets, but also substantially expanding the overall capacity in order to be able to service this demand.
And that's the demand for eco-products?
That's the demand for eco-products, yes.
Okay. Another question coming in, and that's on the key challenges for 2022. Tim, would you like to...
Yep.
Take that one. What do you see as the key challenges?
I think it was highlighted to an extent in the outlook. Of course, right now the key challenge is maneuvering a business environment which is characterized by rather unprecedented levels of inflation. And as explained also through the price increases, et cetera, we're acting towards that. At the same time, I would really like to also use the opportunity to speak more of opportunity. I think the growth that we are showing here over 21 shows that the strategy is working, that the demand in the market is solid and broad, and that's what we are looking to play into. And the opportunity is for us to jump on that and materialize it.
And the listing should help that?
The listing should definitely help. I think it gives us an entirely different visibility. That's for sure. On top of that, as Necip already explained, there's of course also a significant inflow of cash, which gives us greater flexibility and an opportunity to act. As well as being able to bank on some of the experiences that we are bringing on board through the supervisory board. So I think the support by Dutch Star Companies too is something that will also help us going forward.
Okay, another week to go.
Another week
then
to go.
You are a listed company. Let's see. If we look at products, are there any new products in the foreseeable future coming in? Or do you have a stable product portfolio? I don't think so, but maybe for our audience, give a bit of background to that.
Well, for starters, we have the existing product portfolio is one of the broadest within the industry. So we service the full range from lightweight pallets and to, let's say, the heavy-duty logistical pallets and boxes. But at the same time, that's exactly where we focus our efforts in the Innovation Center in Valencia. So we continuously nurture the pipeline of new products. expanding the portfolio itself, but also working very closely with our customers to develop these so-called custom solutions. So products really tailored to the very specific need or supply chain as our customers have it.
But to be honest, reusable plastic pallets are still a very small part of the total pallet or demand, whatever site you want to look at it. How do you see this competition with wood then?
Well, you're right that the penetration of plastic pallets, recycled plastic pallets, is relatively limited. So we speak of a market share that is roughly 6 to 7%. But there is the growth of recycled plastic pallets in comparison to the traditional material wood is substantially higher. Therefore, also the market share for plastic pallets is increasing. And we're currently also in an environment or in a business context where the price of wood has gone up very, very significantly, both in the U.S. as well as in Europe, which, of course, gives us also some additional tailwind, if you like.
So good perspectives there.
Yeah.
Actually. Okay. Maybe this is a nice point to close this session, because I don't see any questions left. We covered most of it, a little less time than we anticipated, but that's good if all the questions are answered. If you would have any other questions, you can always send them to our mail address, ir@kapka.com, and we'll try to answer your questions as soon and as good as possible. For now, thank you for listening in and sending in your questions. I wish you a very good day, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you.